What's up, everybody? How are you living? I'm sure you're living inside confined right now because of all the crazy shit going on with the coronavirus. See, I always knew I never liked that beer for a reason, man. You know, I blame the beer. Corona is to blame in all this. I'm just joking. I know better than that. Anywho, I thought, what better way? It's been a while. And I thought, what better way to get everybody in better spirits than to provide a great interview with a funny-ass dude, great comedian out of the Houston area that I was lucky enough to have on one of our shows that we did right before everything got shut down. It was literally the last show that we were able to do, and he came up there, and he's a friend of Mikey Sanchez, who was also one of the other interviews on the show. And his name is Jesse Saldana. Jesse goes by Tio Jesse on all the social media, which is fucking hilarious. I was just laughing about it with Jazz, my wife, and because it literally took me until right this second, literally 2 minutes before I jump on here to record this, to figure out what that really meant. Like, he's the Mexican Jesse, Uncle Jesse. Like, what the fuck? Sometimes my brain, I swear to God, man. My wife put it this way. She's like, you know, there's sometimes I'm really proud to be your wife, and then there's other times where you just absolutely fail me. And I was like, oh, my God. And so apparently not knowing the Full House reference there was something that bothered her quite a bit, but you know, what's new? I bother her all the time. I swear, we're going to make it through this quarantine together because we're used to it, and we survived our first child together. And I feel like if you've ever had a kid and you're married, if you survive the first child together, then you are pretty much set for the rest of your life. Unless, you know, one of you make a stupid fucking mistake, like cheating on each other. Beyond that, you're fucking fine. Cause going through a child for the first time is probably as bad as, I don't know, as I don't, it's probably as bad as a zombie apocalypse. Let's just put it that way. Like, I can't imagine what that is like, but it's got to be that bad. So anyway, I'll leave the jokes and shit to Tio Jesse. But I don't know why I had to say it like that, but I did. But Jesse is a funny-ass comedian. Like I said, he is a rising star. He's been only doing this for 3 years, but the dude kills it. So much so that I think he kind of killed the show for the rest of the comedians that followed him when he went up on the Crafts and Laughs show. So, but he was great. The interview does not disappoint. We talk about everything from growing up in a small town outside of Houston, where he started off in high school getting in the wrong crowd, doing a little bit of gangbanging, but small town gangbanging. It's not like you were in like big city stuff, but went from that to hanging out with a bunch of rednecks after high school and doing some stupid shit that only white people do. And if you know what I'm talking about, if you're a redneck or you've hung around rednecks or you're a white person, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And regardless, you know what people do. Like, white people do stupid fucking shit. We really do. we do things like jumping off of bridges and skydiving and all sorts of crazy stuff that you will not, swimming with sharks, like stuff that you like literally wouldn't find any other culture really doing except for the insane white people. So, all right. Well, and then also Jesse gets into, he closes out with one of the funniest things of the entire interview, which was how he got his name, Jesse, which is spelled J-E-S-S-I. So you're going to love this. Like I said, he went from hanging out with rednecks to doing comedy to now killing it. And you're going to be, you know, you want to follow this dude. I'm telling you, he's going to blow up. He's funny ass, just naturally funny, but naturally charismatic. He knows how to tell a good story. He incorporates his life events in his bits. He's just good at what he does. And this interview does not disappoint. So enjoy the interview with Tio Jesse. All right, I got Jesse here. Jesse, what's up, man? How you doing?
Doing good, you know, just out here surviving in these streets with the virus and all.
Yeah, like what are you doing with yourself now that like the virus is around? Are you quarantining yourself, or are you one of those people that are out there just like going up to everybody and coughing on them?
No, yeah, I was like not out on the streets, man. I'm just at home. I could work from home, so I'm just doing that. How are y'all doing over there, man?
I got 3 kids, so I try to take it, you know, try to abide by the rules to a certain extent, but you know, the kids are still playing with their neighborhood friends and we're still like mingling with the neighbors. Nothing like, we're not having like a party of 20 people or anything over, but trying to keep our distance, you know, doing typical shit, but at the same time trying to stay sane. I mean, I know you don't have any kids, man, but it's rough out here when you got kids, bro. Let me tell you, when you got kids,
oh, yeah.
3 little ones, it makes you want to drink all day, every day.
No, I've seen plenty of my friends and family already. It's only been a few days, and they're like, I don't know what I'm going to do with these children. But, I mean, for me, it kind of just feels like a – because I'm over here close to the Houston area. It kind of just feels like kind of a hurricane passed through or something.
Yeah. I mean, not to sound, like, horrible about this, but, like, you guys have been through this at least once now.
Yeah, I mean, there's not debris, there's not branches and stuff everywhere, and we got all the utilities, you know, internet and all that, so that's cool. But whenever I saw people buying up toilet paper, I was laughing. I was like, look at these idiots. Until I'm down to one roll, man. I got one roll of toilet paper left in my house. So yeah, this has gotten real for me.
So what you're saying is that if anyone wants to donate to the Jesse Saldana Foundation for toilet paper, please do so.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I was trying to get a beer sponsor for my comedy, but let me hit up Charmin or Cottonelle or something. They can afford it right now.
They seriously can. I saw some guy post that a buddy of mine was like, I'm literally in the parking lot about to pick up toilet paper from somebody out of their trunk.
Wow. I was
like, yeah. I'm like, this is the, how we've, what we've gotten to at this point. So it's fucking crazy. I don't understand the toilet paper thing, but you know, these are the times that we live in and people just get fucking crazy about it.
Yep.
So, tell us a little bit about yourself, man. I know you said you're from the Houston area, like outside of Houston.
Yeah, I grew up like in a small town. It's like an hour north of Houston. I was born in Dallas, so when I was a kid, I didn't want to move when I was a kid. So I kept claiming that I was from Dallas till I was like in high school. And then I realized, nah, I'm not from over there. So, I'm a Houston comic. I grew up around here, you know, just really, really small town vibe is me, man. Like, I don't even know the Houston area that well. I just started messing around in Houston when I started doing comedy.
Yeah, well, how long you been doing comedy for now?
A little over 3 years.
Man, you're fucking good for being, like, fairly new in it.
Man, I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem, man. I mean, so tell me, like, I like maybe some people have seen your bits and seen you do stand up, but like I just got a chance to see you do it at the Crafts and Laughs and in Pflugerville, and you killed it. I think you killed the rest of the show, honestly. You like you went on too early because everyone who followed, even Andy, like it took a little while for Andy to kind of get warmed up with the crowd, but like I think you just killed it for everybody. So with your set, you talking about like hanging out with the whites and how you used to hang out with the Walmart whites. So did you grow up in like, and I thought that was the funniest shit, man. Like, so I recorded a little bit like video wise and I had to stop myself from like laughing too hard. Cause that's then all you're going to hear is me chuckling in the background. But is that like true? Did you grow up in like obviously grew up in a small town, but was it predominantly like white people or was it like a mixture?
Yeah. Hold on. Let me put this thing on do not disturb. Okay. Well, before I get into that, what you said about that show, the thing about brewery shows the problem with going on late is that sometimes people can't handle those craft beers, man, because they're stronger than what people are used to, like Bud Light or Coors or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And then by the time that the headliner goes up, people are too drunk and they're not paying attention. You know, they're having their own conversations and stuff like that. Cause I run a comedy show at Southern Star Brewery in Conroe, Texas. And I've had that problem before.
That's a good point, man. I never thought about dealing
with people getting too drunk. But I do appreciate the, man. They don't mess around with those craft beers. I appreciate you saying that, though. I did have a lot of fun at that show. Growing up in a small town, I mean, there was really only, like, when I was a kid, I only remember there was Black, white, and Mexicans in school. There wasn't a whole bunch of, you know, diversity or whatever.
Yeah.
But I had a lot, like, once I got to high school and stuff, I mostly hung out with just Mexicans, like not even like Salvadorans or Hondurans. It was just me and my cousin and our friends that were all Mexican. Like, we were pretty hardcore about, you know, being proud Mexicans or whatever. But it was more kind of like that little gangbanging phase that people went through in the early 2000s and the 90s, you know? Yeah. So we were, you know, straight. We were some fake gangsters, man. we didn't do anything, really. But after high school, and I got out of that phase, and I started hanging out with some people that I knew from elementary school, like some of my old white friends. And I mean, they're basically rednecks. I mean, they all drive trucks, and we would just make bonfires and drink beer and drive around and shoot guns and go out on the lake and jump over
That's
stuff.
That's life right there, though, man.
Oh, man, it was a lot of fun. I mean, it was kind of dangerous sometimes. I felt like I got in more dangerous situations hanging out with rednecks than I did hanging out with gangbangers. But just trying to have fun.
because like, white people do stupid shit, man. Like, we don't fuck around. Like, we were like, hey, do you see that tall ass cliff? And there's a body of water down there. Let's jump off of it and see if we survive. And it doesn't always work out very well.
So there's this thing, because the town I grew up in is called Willis, Texas. And there's this bridge. I think, I forget how long it is. I want to say it's, I don't know how long it is, but it goes over the lake, right? So it's like a tradition to jump off that damn bridge into the lake at night when you're drunk.
And let me guess, it's the white people that came up with it.
Yeah, man. Like, I never did it. I bitched out. I didn't, because I'm not a strong swimmer. And I was like, man, we've been drinking all day. And I'm not, it was like 12, 15 people jumped off of this bridge. And some of them had already done it once. And I'm just like, y'all crazy. I'm going to stay on the boat, make sure, you know, I'm going to hold down the fort.
I'm going to be the rescue.
Yeah, man. I was like, y'all motherfuckers are crazy. But yeah, with this shit like that, one time we were chilling on the lake, and a buddy of mine was like, hey, I got my ramp in the back of the truck. I used to do a joke about it. Sometimes I still do a joke about it. He literally had a big bike ramp in the back of his truck. And then he had a bicycle with he cut up those little spaghetti tubes, or the, what do you call them? The floaty tubes.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He zip tied some of those on the bicycle so that it would float. So we rode down this hill, jumped off the ramp into the lake. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. I did that one. I did do that one.
Yeah. You're like, I'll jump on the bike off of the truck into the water, but I won't jump off of a fucking bridge.
Yeah. No, yeah, man. I think I'm scared of heights. I'm not. I haven't confirmed it yet, but when it comes to stuff being too high, I'm like, nah, I'm good. Like, I don't think I'm ever gonna skydive or anything like that.
Oh shit, that's funny, man. So, hey, so were the guys you start or the people you start hanging out with that were, you know, rednecks, were they racist though?
Oh man, they weren't. They weren't. Were they still are? You know what I'm saying? But the funny thing is, like, they say a lot of racist things. They make a lot of racist jokes. But when it comes down to it, I mean, they're not literally like hardcore. I don't mess with colored folk. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think the right word would be more they're prejudiced.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, because like.
But I mean, that doesn't sound as funny on stage. So, you know, you gotta change it up a little bit. Because if I say, yeah, my friends are prejudiced, the crowd will be like, yeah, so are we. What the fuck?
They start clapping.
Like, right on.
I mean, they have to be like prejudiced, not racist, because why would they be hanging around with a Mexican dude, right?
Exactly. Well, I mean. So. They would say, oh, you're one of the good ones. I'm like, what the fuck is that supposed to mean?
Man, that is fucked up. Fucking Jesus. So how did you respond to them? Be like, oh, you guys are... Oh,
man, I would just say some dumb shit to them, too, about being rednecks or whatever. But, I mean, most of the time, we just joke around. You know, it was all in good fun. Didn't really mean nothing by it.
So that really just prepped you for comedy right there.
Yeah, messing around with them. Yeah, and like, actually, I didn't even realize it. Like, I would watch the Blue Collar Comedy Tour. You heard of that?
Yeah.
It was Jeff Foxworthy and Ron White and Larry the Cable Guy. Well, even they would talk shit because they would call me up and be like, hey, what are you doing? I'll be like, man, I'm watching the Blue Collar Comedy Tour, and they're like, you fucking country ass piece of shit. And I'm like, what? You're the one that's that. And they're like, fucking hillbilly. You know? Like...
Oh, man, that's funny. So what made you want to get into comedy, man?
House parties.
Yeah?
Yeah, I would be at house parties and I'd start telling stories. Like I said, I used to hang out with the rougher crowd, you know? Uh-huh. And we did do some illegal shit. And then I would go to house parties with a bunch of, like, you know, more calm people, like kind of mixed crowd, you know, white people or whatever. But that would be telling all these stories about shit that I did, trying to be a gangster. And, like, I was already good and drunk. I would embellish a little bit, you know. And next thing I knew, I would be telling the same story. And people were paying attention that had already heard it. And one of my friends told me, he's like, hey, man, you should do stand-up. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? He's like, yeah, man, all you had to do is tell that same story on stage. And I was like, you're crazy, dude. Ain't nobody want to listen to no drunk Mexican tell a story about a drive-by. And I was like, nobody wants to hear this on stage. But he planted that seed, and like probably like 5 years later, I finally got the balls to get on the stage, and I did tell that story on stage, and it worked. I mean, people liked it, and I just kept doing. I found out where open mics were at in Houston after that, and started doing that. Other comics gave me some advice, and then I started getting booked on shows a couple months in, and I just haven't stopped since. Well, till now, awesome. Everything's on hold right now. I'm so glad I went out to that show in Pflugersville, because that was the second to last show I did.
Damn, man, yeah.
Because everything's going to be a month.
Yeah, it's going to be, it's going to be a few weeks, maybe a little bit longer, but I think things will get back to it. It's just like now it's just a matter of like creating content in a different way to entertain people. And, you know, just got to be flexible a little bit on how you do that shit. But podcasts right now, this is going to be huge, man. Like this stuff is going to be, that's why I'm like doubling down and doing more of these, is because people aren't gonna have, they don't have shit to do, and they got to be entertained. Like, people don't like sitting around just watching Netflix the whole time. I mean, they probably could if they wanted to, but that, I know there's plenty of other people out there that are still, you know, being somewhat active, whether it's like working out or moving around the house or cleaning the house, you know, whatever. They got to listen to something. So this is like good entertainment to plug in their eardrums and keep them going.
Oh yeah.
But I don't want to pass over what you said just a minute ago, and I want to go back to this. So you got to tell the story about the drive-by.
Oh man, I can't. I'm saving that for the stage, man. Oh, I can't. All right, I can't.
Right. So still use it, okay?
Yeah. I've only done it on stage like 2 or 3 times, but I'm still. It's a 10-minute story.
Oh,
so
shit.
I'm trying
okay.
to. Yeah. So it's really long. I've been working on actually making it more of a bit instead of just going up there and telling the true story.
Yeah.
But I basically, what it was is a friend called me up asking for a ride, and I was like, yeah, all right. And then next thing I knew, we're on our way to do a drive-by in my car. And I'm just like, what the fuck? But the problem was, what he didn't realize is my car windows were all fucked up.
Oh shit!
It was an old car. It was a 1988 Caprice, man, and like not everything worked. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's where that's why the story was funny.
Oh shit!
But yeah, that's right, basically what it's about.
So I got an interesting, kind of like similar story. So when I was in high school, like my senior year, I got mixed up with a crowd that was a little bit tougher too. And a lot of my friends were Mexicans, and they were some of them were in actual gangs and stuff like that. And so one of my best friends, who's still I'm best friends with to this day, we laugh about this shit because it was so stupid. Like, we lived outside of Chicago, like 45 minutes outside of Chicago, but we thought we were like the hardest things in the world. And his cousin, though, we were like out with a handful of us in our car. We picked up some like 40s and we were going to go out to someone's house and drink them. And we walked by his cousin, who was a little bit older, and his cousin was with his boy, and he was like a rival gang. And so they started talking shit to each other. I was like, dude, aren't you fucking family? He's like, yeah. He's like, but we don't like each other, this and that. So
wow.
And we get in the car, right? And like, they're still talking shit, and like, we're following them, and they know that we're following them. And then they stop, and I'm driving in my car, and they stop, and like, they're open the guy, both the guys get out of the car. One opens the back door, and we think he's gonna pull out a gun, right? So I'm like, reversing the car back, and they're all in, and we're like, oh shit. And we stop about like 50 yards out, and the dude pulls out a bat. And I was like, oh, fuck, that's it. So, and then one of my buddies in the back was like, yo, B, go hit this motherfucker. I was like, all right. And so I was kind of crazy at the time. And so I put the pedal to the metal and fucking we're going like, I started speeding towards this dude. And he's sitting there with the bat. And my buddy, who it was his cousin, had a full beer in his hand. And just chucks the beer right at his cousin in the fucking forehead and, like, literally knocks him out. And then, like, we speed off. And I was like, fuck, this could have turned out a lot worse. but I was like, you literally did a drive-by in your own cousin with a fucking full beer. And he's like, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, stupid high school shit. I mean, this wasn't, like, legit, like, shooting people. But, you know, but it was fucking funny, man.
It's crazy how when you're between 16 and 20 something, you don't care about anything.
No. It's like the kids. Have you seen the video of the kids who are going down to spring break in Miami right now? They're like everything's shut down, but like we're living our best life. We're like, we're trying to get drunk, but everything's, it's like, yo, bro, like seriously,
that be fucking definitely, responsible. That definitely would have been me and my friends.
I was like, thinking for about sure. that today too. Yeah, I would have been the same way.
Like, man. If this would have happened when I was 23, me and like 20 people would be making a big fire tonight and getting drunk. Yeah, that's exactly what we would be doing. That's what we did. That's what we did on, during hurricanes, man.
Really?
Yeah, except it was tougher because there was no light. AC. Yeah, there's no electricity. There's nothing. So we would just meet up somewhere, make a big fire. And, you know, it was tough getting ice, though, because everybody buys all the ice up. So we But, yeah, we would just party. We would just party every day until things were, like, back to normal.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you're right. Like, the age of, like, 16 to, like, mid-20s, you're on top of the world. You got, like, no cares, no fucks given. It's just, it's crazy, man. I think it's the fucking hormones or something, to be honest.
I don't know, man. But I'll tell you this, to be completely honest with you, that's what I love about trying to be a stand-up professionally. I don't want to stop doing this shit.
You're like, I don't
want to
grow up.
I don't, man. Because, like, what if you think about it, I go somewhere, I get a couple of drinks, I get on the stage, make strangers laugh, and then sometimes, every once in a while, I get to hang out with all these new people, and they, I ain't gonna lie, I love when they're like, man, you were so funny, and, you know, they're just boosting my ego up and buying me drinks, and I'm having a great time. I'm like, I could keep doing this for a long time.
Yeah, for real. I mean, that doesn't sound bad at all.
But there are those nights that you suck and nobody cares. Because I'm over here making it sound like I never bomb. Everybody bombs, man. I've had some rough nights.
What's like the worst time you ever bombed?
I mean, had it been a bar show, you know, you just go and people see, because people do shows at a bar and not promote it. They won't even tell people that are at that bar that a show's happening. So then there's these people that are there to drink and hang out with their friends. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, here's this comedy show in your face right now. And then it's just terrible, man. People don't want to hear what you, I mean, you can get a couple of them, but there'll be a few that'll like, hey, we just came here to drink beer and hang out. We don't give a damn what you got to say, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's happened a few times. Those shows can be pretty rough, but that's really on the person that organizes it.
Yeah, that's true, man. It's all about the promoter and the showrunner.
Yeah, sorry to cut you off, but I did. I forgot about this. One night, man, I was on a show, and I swore I'd never do this again because I embarrassed myself real bad. I ran into another comic. That's actually a friend right before the show started. And she's like, hey, let's take a shot. And I'm like, all right. So we take a shot. And usually I don't drink before the show. I'll have maybe one or to take with me on stage or whatever. But usually I try to stay sober before I go up because of this reason. So I take a shot with her and we end up taking three shots before I go up. And I had already been drinking that day. And I get on stage. I was supposed to do 20 minutes. I did 8 because I blacked out on stage. And I said the same thing twice. I said the same thing, right? One right after another. I asked the crowd a question. And then I asked them the same question again. And then this girl in the crowd was like, hey, you already asked us that. And all I said was, I did. Well, fuck you. And then they gave me the light. They gave me the light, and they were like, man, get this fool off stage. And then I didn't even know I did that until afterwards. And I saw the light, and, like, it woke me up. I snapped back into it, and I was like, uh-oh. I don't know what just happened up here. And I was like, all right, well, they got me off stage. Yeah, but, yeah, that's the worst, man. That's the worst I've ever done. I hope people learn from my mistake and don't do that shit. Cause that was it could have been really, really, really bad. I could have never worked on that at that club again. You know.
Yeah.
Luckily, I'm pretty cool with the people that run that place. It's this club called the Secret Group in Houston. They luckily gave me another chance because I mean that's grounds. That's so unprofessional and like. You should never do that. No, man. Because you're trying to be an entertainer, you know, like, even if it's a free show, like you should be a professional. And I was being totally reckless.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, you learn from your lessons, you learn from your mistakes, and like at least you know that though too. I mean, like, I can't tell you probably like how many people would do something like that and then like not really change, you know, what they did. But that's cool though that like at least you learned from it. That's funny as hell that you blacked out on stage.
Yeah, I swore. I was like, I'm never gonna do that again.
No more shots for me.
Yeah. Until afterwards. After this, I'll take all the shots.
Oh, shit. So, hey, man, so I know you said you were single and like one of your bits, and I won't get into it, but do you ever use Tinder?
I tried it, man. I don't really mess with online dating at all. I really do just go out here. I'll go out. I'll go out to bars and all that. I'll meet women like in the wild, you know, in real life. I don't really have a problem approaching a stranger and sparking up a conversation. I've always been real sociable, so like that's not an issue for me. Yeah. And online dating, I've never even had any luck with it. I've never even gone on a date.
Really?
I've never had a Tinder match that actually we met up or whatever. So I just gave up on it. That's I was crazy, like, man. Screw this. Yeah, I tried a few of them, and I was like, this is stupid. I know.
how is, like, the real world or hunting in the wild now?
Man, it's basically the same as online dating. I mean, you just meet someone, you text for a few times, you know, hang out a few times, you hang out with each other, and then you never talk to each other again. It's really stupid. It sucks, man. Dating is just like, hey, here's this person you're gonna like for about a month, and then you're never gonna talk to them again. But you'll still follow each other on Instagram and view each other's stories, but you never talk to each other. You never see each other again. It's so weird. But that's so normal now. You ask any I'm in my 30s. You ask any 30-year-old or person in their, you know, later 20s, we all go through the same shit, man.
Yeah,
that's just ghosting each other. And it's not always like the guy that ghosts the girl. I mean, it happens both ways.
I'm sure, man. I feel like women now are more ruthless than they have ever been.
I think the thing is people nowadays, they like you when you first meet someone, there's that little, you know, interest, that spark or whatever. As soon as that goes out, you're like, all right, well, you're not the only option. I got other options out here. And people want that chemistry right off the bat, and they don't, which usually happens, but once it starts dying down, it's over, man. you gotta keep things interesting.
Yeah. Shit, that sounds like way too much work, man.
Yeah, it is. And I see, when it comes to dating, I'm super lazy because I got I'm in love with comedy, you know, not to sound corny or whatever, but
yeah,
that's my main focus.
Sure. And that's cool, man. I mean, like, you got to find something that you love and want to focus in on. If that's comedy, that's even better, bro. That's great. So and this is funny because like I totally missed the whole social media and dating thing. Like, I've been married for almost 10 years now, but so with the whole DMs and Instagram, do you ever like slide into your ex's DMs and try to like hit her up, like when you're
drunk? Oh, yeah. Or something like that? Oh yeah. Even when I'm sober. I mean, 'cause how hard is it to send a message, you know?
For real.
Nah, man, like I hate seeing one of my friends or somebody that I know blow up somebody's phone. I'm like, nah, don't do that. What are you doing, man? You're just making yourself look like a fool. But sometimes I'll just send out a hey, how are you doing? Hope you're doing well. And if they don't answer, I'm like, well, that's that.
I tried.
Yeah, I tried, you know. But yeah, you don't want to, man, I hate seeing that, especially like my friends, my female friends, when they'll show me like some dude blowing up their phone, like if we're all out drinking, you know, a group of friends or whatever, and somebody keeps having to ignore calls, I'm like, damn, how lame is this dude calling the same person 20 times in a row? Like, they don't want to talk to you. Get the clue, man.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck. Super thirsty.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm like, what do you... It happened a couple of times. Or, like, I would be drunk. And there was one girl in particular. I used to call her all the time when I was drunk. She would never answer. Well, one time she answered. And I didn't even know what to say. I made it into a routine, man. I would just get real drunk. And then I call her and expect her not to answer. And... This one time she answered me, and she's like, why do you keep calling? You don't even have anything to say. See, this is stupid for you to. And I was like, all right, I'll stop.
Oh, shit. That's too
funny. Yeah, man. She called me out on my bullshit. I was just like, damn, you're right. I don't even have anything to say.
Oh, shit. That's funny, man. All right. So. I wanna wrap things up a little bit, but before we get off, I got a quick game for us to play. Well, for you to play actually. So now that you're in the 30, you probably remember the game like what was like kiss, marry, or date or something like that, or something like, I think it was something along those lines. But I came up with a new version of it called Kill, Bang, and Quarantine. So
okay, how fitting.
So I'm gonna give you three women, and because you're Mexican, I made it the Mexican version. So not to be like prejudiced or anything along those lines.
Oh, I don't worry about that at all.
But so you got to pick one of those, and the quarantine one is the one you got to be quarantined for. Let's say for like 3 weeks. So all right. So the three people. I picked the three women are Selena, mm-hmm. Salma Hayek, and Selena Gomez.
All right. Well, give me the options one more time.
You got to kill one of them, bang mm-hmm. one of them, and then be quarantined for 3 weeks with one of them.
All right. This one's easy. Killing Gomez, banging Hayek, and quarantining with the real Selena.
All right.
That one's too easy, man.
Shit, I should have made more difficult. Next time I will. All right. Well, cool, man. This was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun like listening to your stories, and you, like I said, you're a great comedian, man. I can't wait to see you blow up, bro, because I'm for sure feel like you're gonna be on like comedy circuit and the clubs and stuff very soon.
Thank you, man. That's the goal.
Yeah, my pleasure, bro. And so tell everybody, though, like everyone that's listening, how they can follow you or, you know, find out where you're playing at or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Follow me on Instagram. It's at Theo Jesse, TIOJESSI. And then on Facebook, you can find my page, El Theo Jesse, or just my name, Jesse Saldana. I'll add you back. But it's JESSI. My mom spelled my name weird. yeah.
That's cool, man. Did she think you were going to be a girl or something?
No, man. They told me they named me after my grandpa. And then his name's Jesus. And I'm like, all right, whatever. And I asked her, like, why did you spell my name like this? And she goes, well, that's how the nurse spelled it. So we didn't change it. I was like, that's such an immigrant move. To not correct a white person doing their job.
Oh shit. That's gonna be the funniest story so far, bro. I'm glad we closed on that one.
Well, I appreciate you talking to me, man.
Yeah, no problem.
And it was good meeting you out there in Pflugerville.
Yeah, yeah. When we get back up and running with the shows, I do a show up here in Leander, which is just like north of Austin. So I'd love to have you. We do about 80 to 100 people come out. And
man, that'd be beautiful.
Yeah, I think people would love you, man. I think this crowd would really, really love you. So we'd love to have you out there, but let's get through the shit first.
Oh yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, I joke around, but I mean, stay your ass at home.
Yeah. you heard it first from Jesse. Theo Jesse.
My man, Jesse Saldana. What a fucking funny dude. I love that guy. I can't wait to have him on some shows and to do some collaborations with him on some stuff. So, and I don't know about you, but I thoroughly enjoyed the ending story about how his name, how his name got spelled. that cracked me the fuck up. I don't know why, but that was the funniest part to me. So anyway, I hope you guys really enjoyed that interview with Jesse. Like I said in the beginning, I'm going to be doing a lot more. I'm doubling down on this. I know because of the whole coronavirus and everything and people being locked down, we're all looking for things to keep us entertained. Also get our mind off of all this crazy shit. I see my friends talk about like watching the news for 15 minutes and then wanting to have to drink. I really try to stay away from all that stuff. To be honest with you, I try to keep updated as much as possible just to be responsible and really know what's going on, but at the same token not try to spend too much time in it, because that can, I mean, it's serious stuff, man. I mean, but we do need things to kind of ease our anxiety, make it not so stressful, to get our minds off of this stuff so we can power through it, because we will get it through it together and we're awesome. So this is my part, our part. I'm bringing on people to come do some interviews. We're going to be creating a bunch of content. I'm rounding up some of my comedian friends to help create some funny shit to put out there on a more consistent basis for everybody. I started a Facebook group on Facebook, obviously, that you can join, and it's just all of us just having a good time, posting a bunch of memes. It did not mean to turn into it, but it's been meme after meme about everything that's funny and that you can joke around when it comes to the coronavirus and being locked down. So if you guys want to join it, you feel free to do it. All I ask is to keep your political points of view out of it. This is all about having fun, having a good time. You can go on Facebook, look up the group, Funny Shit Everywhere. Shit is not spelled with an I, it's spelled with an asterisk, because we are not allowed to swear on the group names of Facebook. So Funny Shit Everywhere, you can join the group, participate. It's a lot of fun. We got over 200 members in there, and where everyone's posting their stuff, and it's hilarious. It really is, and then everyone's participating. So it's good times to get our minds off of all the crap that's going on. So feel free to do that. Keep a lockdown and your eyes on moneyinthebankpresents.com. That's where we're going to produce a lot of the content's going to come out that way. Follow us on Facebook at Money in the Bank Productions and on Instagram, Money in the Bank Productions. I'm going to be posting a bunch of new content. I got some clips from shows, past shows that I haven't put out yet that I'm going to put out now to help you guys out. And like I said, just keeping you guys entertained and laughing and having a good time and keep your mind off of all the bullshit and helping you through if you got kids and they're at home, helping you, you know, deal with all of that. I can feel your pain because I have three of them that are all in the house, and they seem to just be like an endless pit of eating food. It's like nonstop. We try to stock up, right? Like trying to avoid the crowds and go into the grocery stores, but I don't know where the hell this food is gone, but it's like they're eating nonstop, which is fine. Like whatever, it is what it is, but it is also partly me too. I don't stop eating as well. So, but having three other little ones participating in all that eating becomes, you know, another thing to tackle. I don't know where the fuck I was going with that. Anywho, you get the point. Follow us. Keep track of Money in the Bank Productions however you would like. We also have an email list that I'm going to put out a way you can sign up for that. You can check it out. It's on the website already. You can do that and just keep laughing, people. Let's have a good time. I know this is not a fun thing to go through, but I swear we're going to come out here stronger, better, and we definitely are going to be a lot more entertained with all the stuff that we got going on in Money the Bank Productions. So thank y'all. Enjoy the show, or hope you enjoy the show. Make sure you subscribe, and we'll see you on the next one coming soon.